Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. You've got a slightly different voice greeting you this evening. Harry, unfortunately, isn't with us for a mixture of train delays, air flights with the wind and all that, and basically just anything else that he didn't have to talk about the Hibs game on Saturday. I am, however, joined by Liam and Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Better than I was on Saturday.
To be honest, I got over the
game pretty quickly. I went to see a decent band with Raymond, which
Oh, yeah,
was
I've seen.
the Rayburn Brothers. So go and see them if you get the chance. They were really good. But yeah, that got me over the game pretty quickly. But then other people in the group chat started sharing stuff on Sunday that just got me upset again. So glad to be here to just discuss it all again.
Liam, it was your birthday on Saturday. I met up with you before the game. More chance than anything else, I suppose. Certainly not to celebrate your birthday, but did you manage to have an enjoyable day, or did Hibs sort of really put a dampener on it?
It was a good day. I went to Mavers, which is a pub I've not been to for a very long time, after the game for a few pints before my good lady came up to meet me and went for something to eat. And my mind was soon taken off the result, but then, much like Dave, woke up on Sunday morning to a flurry of messages and just sent me spiraling back down to earth again, which is shite. I should probably just learn to turn off notifications, just turn off everything after results like that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't sidetrack already. It's something I'd say to you. Like, I've turned basically notifications off for every single app on my phone almost, other than stuff that, you know, if it was to come through, I would need to see. And it's been a fucking beautiful. It's so simple, but it just stops you from that. I was always picking up my phone, always, and I couldn't ignore what was on the screen, and it was a disaster. Right, we're going to go straight into the talking points and stuff, and I'll tell you what the categories are that we've sort of got them in from. And just so everyone knows, I'm not going to bother reading every single person's name out in every single question, because as ever with stuff, when Hibs aren't doing so well, there's a lot of repeat, so we'll just sort of highlight it all and go through bit by bit. But what have we had? And we've had lone player issues, tactical and mentality issues, VAR and officials, the manager's future, and potentially some CEO future questions, and then a look to next season. So, Dave, of the titles there, you tell me, what would you like to go into first, and then we'll go through it.
that lone player one interests me, actually, and I've not thought about this at all until you just mentioned it. So,
So I'll tell you the highlights of what we've had.
That they were saying that the lone players have the wrong attitude for this club.
Right, so let me take you through it. So we've been sent stuff in from Neil Wrent and Michael Goodman, Greavesy, Leon, Brian, Mark, Sam, Paul, and David, right? And now these were the highlights of the messages, and then you can tackle this in any which way you want, all right? We used them to shore up the first team, but they're clearly not up for the fight. We can't count on them, and where did it then leave us for the following season? Is Marcondes specifically starting to flatter to deceive after a few disappointing performances in a row? Now, Dave, I know that's a player that you are particularly high on. And then, why wasn't the defence a priority in Jan? Now, I've moved that into the loan category, because we obviously did sign on paper two centre-backs on loan in January, albeit Bevan's left already and Triantes has had more time in midfield. So, Dave, I'll let you do whatever you want on the back of that there. Maybe you want to start on Marcondes?
Marcondes is probably a good place to start, yeah. So, I'm obviously on record as admiring him as a player. I think he's a special, special footballer, right? And one of the most gifted I've seen at Hibs anyway, right? There has certainly been elements in the last couple of games where he can perhaps give the indication that he's not putting in the effort that he should be putting in, right? I think that might be a little bit of frustration on his part. I still think he's a second or two ahead of everybody. You see him pointing to spaces where he's expecting people to be and they're not there. And I think it maybe blows his mind a little bit that he has to take a step back and do the basic passing rather than trying to do the defence splitting passing or playing a ball that he expects someone in that position. I don't think he's got a lack of heart. I think it's really shabby to actually say that about players, right? Especially players that are at that level. You don't get there if you've got a lack of heart. It's because like Malia didn't have a great game at the weekend. Is he suddenly not? Is he not up for the fight now either? You know, it's just as soon as somebody has a bad game, it's just sort of they're not up for the fight. They've not got the steel that we require in the team. And I saw on the forums Newell was getting dug up again as well, again because he had a bad game. He did have a bad game. His passing was all over the place. But there's no lack of fight in the guy. So we're not losing games because of lack of fight. And I don't think the fact that we've got a couple of loan players in there makes any difference to that at all. On the subject of the centre backs, 100% mistakes have been made in the January window about who we got in, right? No matter what's happened with Triantes, and I think he's all right playing as a defensive mid. I don't think he's there as a centre back. He's still a young player and he's still learning. So it's exactly wasn't the type of player we needed in the January window. Bevan will never know because he never played, right? But again, he's still a young player. What we're crying out for is an experienced centre back that can marshal that defence. Marshal probably is the right word to use as well. But we've really struggled without Hanlon having his maturity in there to guide the two younger players during games. And I thought it was clear as day at the weekend. So as far as the January window and the ones that got in, for me, that was a big mistake, was not to get a very experienced left-sided.
And is that someone, Liam, like Steve says, not getting an experienced left-sided centre back? And we're talking about the loan players in particular, or the loan market, as a, so, you know, it's probably not right to categorise people. You know, people go back to 2012 and stuff, but you've seen success stories. And not, had we only been able to get a left-sided centre back on loan, should it have been something we'd done, or do we need to stop looking at stop gaps and try and find a solution to that problem area of the pitch for long term? Or was it a massive need in January?
I think the summer windows for where you go addressing the long-term issues predominantly. Like, I think there would be, if obviously if the option comes up to address that issue in January, you do it. But I think the summer is where you do a lot of the fixing. But what that relies on is you actually having a good enough summer window that you can not then need to plug it in the January. But it seems to be a recurring issue for us. Like we I think every time I've been or since I've started this podcast, we go, oh, it's a big summer for Hibs, big summer for Hibs. Then January rolls around, oh, it's a big January for Hibs, big January for Hibs. Like every window shouldn't have to be big. And that is the problem that we find ourselves in, that every window is about fixing fundamental issues. Like, we literally spoke before the January window and we all wanted basically a brand new spine for the team. Like, you can't go into every window needing a new spine. You should, in the January window, it should be about what we've done this window, sprinkling a wee bit of quality about the team, your Marcondes, your Malida, adding some extra touches, not changing the fundamentals of the starting 11. But that's the position we found ourselves in because we sat their manager.
And that is
And to
actually
be honest, we
something.
didn't recruit well.
That is actually something that I remember me and you having a conversation on when Malida was signed. It was like when he signed, I was like, oh, you know, you had a little bit more knowledge on him purely from Football Index, but like it felt like the signing you wanted as like maybe your third or fourth signing in the window. At the time, we're all panicking. It was over halfway through the window. There was nobody brought in, and it was like, oh, here we're adding another forward player in who looks like he's got real quality and has proven to be, but you needed other things first almost. You know, it's like build from the back. But I'd be interested, Liam, just to get your take on Marcondes as well. So he was the only player in all the comment in terms of loan players that was named, other than Triantis, which we'll come on to for sort of different reasons. But he has probably struggled maybe since his spell up front, would be fair to say. You know, he played well at the Derby and then he got moved into that sort of number nine position for a few games. And since he's moved back, we've probably not seen the best of him either.
No, we haven't. We haven't. And it's too easy to play pinpoint on just having moved on position, but it did seem to sort of disrupt his rhythm a wee bit. He hasn't really been picking up the sort of spaces that he was maybe picking up before, but I think a huge amount of that will be because opposition teams have realised that he's a bit of a threat and he's our sort of man that everything goes through at times, particularly in the centre of the pitch. So I think he'll be getting probably quite a lot more attention from defenders, central defensive midfielders than he would have been before. I'm not saying they wouldn't have known about his quality before he came, but I think they maybe would have found it difficult, more difficult to pick him up than they do now. And actually, it's part of that player's responsibility then to go, if he's not finding the space, to go and find where the space is. And then that's forcing him to come deeper. I noticed quite a lot of time he came really deep to receive the ball on Saturday. I don't really want him picking the ball up in really deep areas, to be honest. We've got other guys that can do that. But that's the place we find ourselves in.
Yeah, it's like you're seeing him, and I know both of you guys aren't, massive on formations, but it's like he's not playing so much as a 10. Does it, like it is like he's just a third central midfielder as such, the way he's having to come on and get the ball. And oh, and so there's so many shouts around me in the stand, and some like so many of them you shake your head with. But there was a point on Saturday where it was like someone, it was like you can't score a goal there. And we had just, I'm usually pretty comfortable with us keeping the ball and trying to build, but there was a spell in the first half where it felt like we were just not the ball across the back line. Like it definitely wasn't back to each side 3 or 4 times in a row, it wasn't, but it felt like, and it was just like we need to get the ball forward here, and we need to get the ball to players like him closer to the opposition box. But perhaps that takes us nicely, Dave, into tactical issues, mentality issues, whatever you want to go for, right? So team Elie Guam was dropped for Martin Boyle, otherwise it was same 11. Nathan Mariah Welsh obviously didn't find him his way back into the team, hasn't started a game since his red card. Let's start with that sort of starting 11 before we talk about anything that happened in the game. Was that something that shocked you? I said to Liam as soon as we seen the team, that was like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me dropping Yuan for Boyle.
I was less concerned about that one, right? Because when Boyle's on his game, he's as good as anybody, right? I was very concerned that we played Triantis against a team where we're going to control the game, right? And that's not saying it after the time and all the rest of it, because I remember speaking to Matty, actually. I saw Matty before the game, and we pinpointed that as, for me, the wrong move to make, because you are going to control the game against St Johnstone. I think it ended up 70% possession for Hibs or something, right? And you saw the difference he made when he came on. He was actually driving at the team, right? And driving at players and creating space because of that. And I've said this before, Triantis is just a slightly better Jimmy Jagl, right? He's not a gifted footballer. He's not got piles and piles of energy. He's not got huge amounts of pace, right? So you're missing that player that's really pushing the team forward. Elliot's got to be gutted for getting dropped, because he hadn't done much wrong, and his stats are way up there, right? And again, you're not relying on them as much to defend, right? So even if you were saying, "Oh, I'm playing Boyle because I think he'll come back better and he'll cover for us better," you don't need that against St Johnstone. They've just got, two laddies up front, a back five, and then three players that run around about in the middle, right? They're pretty simple to defend against, which will take us on to probably another point. Right. But yeah, that's the Triantis one was the only one I wouldn't made, and simply for those reasons. I think Mariah Welsh is an outstanding young player, and unless he's struggling fitness wise, and that's maybe the reason that he didn't start, right? That's the only other thing I could think of. It's beyond me why he wouldn't start ahead of Triantis in every single game, apart from perhaps when you're playing the Old Firm and you want to just keep it tight in the middle of the park.
Liam, I think you've seen the instant impact that Mariah Welsh was able to have on the game, but maybe, like I say, but we'll come on to subs and all that. And you are Elie Yuan's probably number one fan. Like, for me, like Dave says, St Johnstone, back four, back five, so deep. Elie Yuan's probably the most likely player in our team to unlock a defence with, maybe dribbling past someone or a quick 1-2 with someone else. Like, it felt, for me, I couldn't get my head around it, which I sort of, I think I explained, to, said to you on the way to the ground. Like,
I think it's just the difference of, like, kind of being able to go off both feet gives the defender something different to think about. What I will say in defense of Boyle is, I counted, he only got the ball 3 times in an attacking area in the first 50 minutes, and every single time he got down the outside, the full back or the wing back, and every single time he got a ball into the box. So whilst he wasn't exactly prolific, he had 100% success rate at beating his man. Just we didn't get him the ball often enough, and I do think, to be honest, I think it is less than ideal playing Yuan on the right. I think it can work, but I think you really want him on the left, where he can basically get inside and get a shot off on his right foot, quite frankly, or get a ball across the box on his right foot. He can do it, but it's not where I'd pick him. So I think I could understand that one, but like Dave, I couldn't understand, and couldn't understand it from the outset, but I really couldn't understand it about 2 minutes after Mariah Welsh came on, and you're like, that's one of those substitutions that managers make that you're like, it almost shoots themselves in the foot, because then the fans' perspective is, why the fuck did you not start with that team when everyone's calling for it?
Are you saying that Mariah Welsh on Saturday was your Adam Lafondra at Ross County for Harry?
Like, it was just so fucking,
so
like, it's just so obvious. And like, I think within, I can't remember how many seconds of kickoff, but like, I think the first 30, 40 seconds of kickoff, he did something, and everybody was just like incredulous at the fact that he hadn't started the game. And those are the kind of things that, as managers, it's these wee micro decisions that you make that get people's back up. And we'll touch on some of the later decisions he made in the game, which, you know, have caused a bit of debate. But it's those little micro decisions that everyone puts under the microscope and is hammering for. And actually, that's where it becomes quite difficult to defend.
Yeah. So that's a nice transition. I should say all these talking points for Tat was Kev Wilson, Tony Swanson, Greavesy, Adam McGregor, aka Rab. So you guys have covered that off nicely. So obviously Mariah Welsh was a sub, came on for Will Fish, who for the first time this season maybe was subbed slash dropped, you know, like, and rightfully so. I think there's potentially some chat that he was maybe unwell, but regardless, he was having a terrible game. Really in the first half. Chiantes moves into centre back after probably not having a vet. You know, there's no disguising that was having a bad game himself in centre midfield. The other talking points that have come in are, let's say, about the subs. So Chiantes not going off alongside Will Fish. Jair getting minutes again in a totally different position as well, which I found bizarre. And then just game management. And an interesting point for you, Dave. I can't remember who said this, but wouldn't have lost that game if Hanlon and Stevenson had been on the park, especially Paul Hanlon was the one that I think you would be shouting from the rooftops.
So Hanlon and Stevenson are clearly done at Hipster, right? Because in that situation where you're taking off Fish, to my mind, it's really straightforward to just move Rocky out to right centre-back and bring Hanlon on at left centre-back, right? They've worked well together in the past. You know, again, he would talk him through the game. They would have been much more secure. There's not a hope in hell he's getting caught out with that first ball, right? Because his position would never be in that position, right? No. He would never get the ball on the inside of him, right? So there was multiple reasons for that, but it's just not going to happen, right? If it's not going to happen in a game like that when a player goes off, it's not going to happen. So we just need to forget about it and move on.
I would say, I think the premise behind that substitution was try to kill two birds with one stone. So he's looking at it going, the midfield's not really working, so I can change that and I can make the defensive change that I need to. Well, first, so it's killing two birds with one stone. I do think the tendency to put Hanlon and Stevenson in the same bucket is an issue here because whilst I do think Hanlon would come in and provide some much needed leadership in that back line, I do think that Jordan Obita is quite a long way ahead of Lewis Stevenson in terms of what they wasn't particularly good at the weekend, but in terms of what he offers now, I think the beat is quite a long way clear of Stevenson.
No, I agree with you there. Dave?
Just on the other sub, right? So I'm divorced this because I'm a sadist, obviously. I watched it again and I don't understand anyway you look at that game. I do not understand why you would think we should bring on Jar now. I'm just like, I'm assuming, right? And again, Junior wasn't having a great game, right? But I'm assuming he's fatigued and that's why they took him off. It's only 7-8 minutes to go. But Josh Campbell was on the bench, was he not?
Yeah, and Dylan Levitt.
Mm-hmm. And Levitt.
I know Levitt slows it down and all the rest of it, but they're probably wanting a bit of energy and all that kind of stuff, right? But he's also good at breaking down teams when they're playing a back five and all that in it as well, right? Now, but Josh Campbell could, with one leg, is better than Jair. And I know we'll get onto this, right? And I'm a big supporter of Nick Montgomery, but he's going to get himself sacked if he keeps playing Jair. It's that simple. There's people on the ground now that are getting to the point of actually getting ready to boo when he's putting his shirt on, right? And that's the point of no return. But he shows nothing in games to suggest he should be anywhere near that team.
Yeah, it was a really confusing one for me. I don't know if I sent a mess or what, but like Dylan Levitt was stripped when Eliu Yang came on.
That's what I thought. It's been
like he was stripped Because you see him standing, you could see the number six. Like it was, I thought for all intent he was going to come on. I thought it made sense. I actually assumed it would have been maybe Emiliano that was maybe going to go off for him. So I don't know if something's changed there, but I agree. Josh obviously is Josh Campbell's first appearance on a bench since his injury. However, if he is on the bench, you would expect that he could have 10 minutes in him.
Was 10
And
minutes ago, not me.
yeah, for all his deficiencies, if there was a role in the team for Josh Campbell, it would be when you need to bring someone off the bench, maybe looking to get on the end of something when you need a goal in a game like that. It is the scenario where I would bring him on, especially if to the position he was going into play. It was a strange one.
That's the mad thing as well, because he has actually got options here. Like you've got Campbell for that sort of ability break and get into the box, and then you've got Levitt for that, where he can pop it for 25, 30 yards. Like we've seen for all Dylan Levitt's kind of deficiencies as a football player, we know that he can fucking strike a ball, and Jair does not have that in his locker. And the ability to strike a ball means that it sucks the St Johnstone defenders out. They have to then go and close them down, and space opens up. Genuinely, if Jair was 25 yards out for goal with all the space in the world, I wouldn't run and close him down. I'd just go on, you go then.
Look at what he done with the last kick of the
It's
game
just
to put it.
it's fucking feeble. Like the way, even just the way he strikes the ball, man. I don't want to dig in on him too much,
No, I
but
know.
it's just not good. It's just really not good.
You've also got the scenario where there is five subs and we made three. And we have just named two players that we feel could have impacted that game as well. Is that you we didn't even use all our intervals because one of the subs was made at half time. So again, game management in the game, we've said that enough for game management when we go ahead, the first thing we want to do is defend that lead instead of trying to go again. But I think they are two players that I would be comfortable seeing come off the bench when we need to score a goal against, I know we got beat, but against a shit football team. It's not like we're turning and saying, Dylan Levitt, go and change the game against Rangers or go and change the game against Celtic or even Hearts, when it's still a high, it was a low intensity game for all intents and purposes. St Johnstone were camped in. If we got caught on a counter again, it certainly wouldn't have been for bringing on Dylan Levitt or Josh Campbell. It really blows my mind. You've Mainda has done nothing, but he's a forward option that's sitting on the bench that just getting splinters on his arse and his time up here. That it doesn't make sense to me. You have two more subs that you are able to use, with an interval available to use to not do anything when we've highlighted that Martin Boyle maybe had some good success, but maybe we weren't getting the best out of him. Emiliano's had a poor game, and we just don't even utilize all the cards that we have in our deck. It's a really strange one for me. We've had a couple of comments come in there on YouTube from Rab. Tough supporting Hibs, some sorry, tough supporting Hibs Monty. I really want it to work, but the subs at time, Rab, I think we've sort of just expressed that ourselves. And Stephen's asked, should we just be completely defensively minded? Now, I don't think any of us would accept that as a football team, but should we? Like, should Hibs get up, not get beat?
Love a good nil. One of our best games I've watched those have been good nil-nils. But no, I don't anyway suggesting we become just defensively minded. You just have a mind about the defence. That's a different thing. Well, we've done it for years. You just need to be improving those areas. I mean, we have improved the left back. We've found somebody who's took his time to settle in, and now he's there and his position's his own. Right back, Chrissy Cadden is his, as good as most in the league for me. Right? It's the two centre backs. They are miles off
Can I ask Dave, what do you think a game between Saturday St Johnstone team and Saturday St Johnstone team would look like? How would that actually play out? Like would 10 men just stay in their own half at all times in
Their
any
training must
case?
be brilliant, eh? Their training must, it's just two guys playing against eight or something in training. That must be what they do. And this is why I'm thinking that the whole thing with Jair, like, I don't know what we do in training, right? But he must be brilliant at fives or something, eh? But then you realize he's just ripping the piss out of you like Fish and Rocky. Right? And it's like, aye, right, okay, then aye. He probably scores a hat trick every week or something. And it's like this.
Well, there's an open training session going on at Easter Road as we record this, isn't there? And I'm
I
pretty
think
sure that
finished.
the, or is it finished now, right? Well, the open training session last year, mind that came out of it. Oh, Tavares, he cut in off the main stand side and he stuck it right in the top, stick like right in the top corner. You got to get it back in the team. Like, it's just, it's a bizarre one. Jumping, I've not taken a note of it, but it is in my head. There's something that was sent into us, and it was about our, again, inability to defend crosses into our box. This one coming directly from a corner, for the second goal, Liam. Second week in a row, if not longer, where we have conceded from a cross. Malida obviously sort of just does he lose his man? Because I think he's still there. He's just really no. Is that fight? Is
Doesn't
that
lose him.
desire? Like, is that what
It's
is it?
a typical mercurial attacking player defending a defensive corner, I'm afraid, to be honest. That's what it is. I think the thing that, I mean, I'm frustrated about that incident in isolation. What frustrated me more is I think we, I don't know how many corners we end up having on Saturday, but it felt like about 15, 16. Did we look dangerous from any of
I think
those
Rocky
corners?
should have scored through one of them,
The
but
one at
he
the back
nearly
stick,
scored. But
one at
other
the
than
back
that,
stick.
aye.
Like, and they had, what, maybe two or three? And not to make it a game of numbers, but how you can have that many corners and not look dangerous from any of them? It's just I just or look dangerous from one but not score. We don't score goals from them.
No, we
We
don't
never
get.
score goals from them. But like
We had 13 corners to their 3.
13-3, all right, okay. So it wasn't quite as wide a gap as I thought, but still it's a wide gap.
It's
Like
still plenty, yeah.
I just think like 13 corners. I don't know what the XG is in a corner. It's probably pretty small, but I just think with 13 of them, you should start to rack up.
Well, see, when
What
you're
was it, plus
wasting,
number of games?
I think the last two or three of them, at least by Martin Boyle taking them simply because the ball went out of the side on his pitch. It's on his pitch, sorry, the ball went out of the pitch on his side. Like, it's just
But
a
five guys
fucking
have had taken
waste.
it before him.
It's
Because we've
just a total waste. It's, do you know, it's amateur. It is. The ball went out on the right-hand side, so the right winger's taking the corner.
I'd have Marshall doing his best José Luis Chilavert impression and get him taking the corners before I dub Boyle on them, to
And
be
it was,
honest.
and do I feel bad? I don't like. It was really windy and stuff, and he couldn't get the ball to set. You could tell he only took like one step. It was like he just wanted to get in the box. And there was no thought to it, and it doesn't even make the 6 yard box. You know, the guy doesn't even let the boy at the front post heads it clear. You know, it
Our set
that.
pieces have been poor all season, to be honest,
Aye.
and that's just not just in the last few games. That's well, very, very. It's not very often that you see a decent corner or a decent free kick,
Aye.
and times we actually have a corner, a position you think that's a great position to get a ball in the box, and we just take it short and then play it back to Marshall, and we might be in there half of them are doing it, and you're just like, come on, surely we
Yeah.
could put something in for there.
Actually, that's what I say. I'll give them their due. I think sometimes you have some decent routines, and but for either a slightly better, I think the wind potentially caused that. We worked it very well to Chris Cadden at the edge of the box to have a shot, but it sort of got stuck under his feet. I think that was right after we made it 1-1. I think it was a
I
nicely
think we
worked
have a
one,
chance after that, really.
but still,
We had a wee
like,
flurry of chances at 1-1, didn't we? And
yeah,
that
that's
was
what.
probably the one point of the game where I felt like we were actually showing something. I thought we were probably going to go on and win it 3 or 4-1 at that stage, just with how thick and fast the sort of half chances were coming. But
Yeah,
no,
Liam,
we
that's what I
weren't.
was going to say. Like, what we've not, unsurprisingly, there's no talking points out and to ask us if there's any positives or any good things from the game. But you know, as anything in that 90 minutes that you would go away from with sort of any confidence or something you can take from it to think that ultimately we can go next week and get the result we need. And as the manager says, hope that the other results go our way.
I am really toiling, to be honest, because I think all the positives are just such small examples. It'd be hard to be really positive. I mean, Mariah Wells showed something when he came on. That's just an individual player rather than a performance positive. I did think the players responded to going behind.
Yeah.
That's a positive, I suppose. But
I suppose we'd
I'm trying
started the
really hard
second
to
half.
find
We
them.
had started the second half okay, and then that was sort of a sucker punch. But what I know when we're trying to avoid doing it, but they'd like, I don't know what it was like over in the West Stand, Dave, but the East Stand was very unhappy in the first half, and obviously there was some booze in the first half. Like, did you go in at half time just thinking that we just need to up it a little bit and we'll win this game, or did you feel like the signs were there that? Like, do you think? Because I don't think it was like I don't think it was our worst performance of the season. It's the
Listen,
context around it.
and again, you're thinking of looking at positives, right? And I know these are bits of paper, but if you look at the stats, where like you're not going to get much better stats than that in a game of football. Your only problem was there wasn't many in the goal scored column, right? We had dozens of chances. We had all the possession. We had loads of corners. You know, our passing and our and compared to them, it was like 550 to 200 or something.
Yeah.
Like it's like a Man City versus Burnley kind of territory. It's nonsense. but we just never got the goals. When I went out at half time, I think the typical chat around us was that was a wee bit dull, but we're not under any pressure at all. Surely the goals will come. It's just a chance to think. Like, and then when we saw Mariah Welsh coming on, we're like, right, okay, Bosh. Right, obviously, you're thinking from there it's going to be decent, but then we lose that goal and it all goes a bit pear-shaped. But certainly there wasn't a half-time mood around us, which was that was utter shite. It was more of just so it's going to come, and we just once we get the first goal, we'll be fine.
Similar Ross County at home, I think the first half wasn't it? It wasn't exhilarating stuff by any means, but we tried to play the right way, and there was a moments at the edge of their box where if the ball breaks the other way, we're in, or Lafondre, the ball comes to him if he can get a shot away. But Liam, the one I think the only talking point I can think of from the first half, in all truth, is the potential penalty. Tony Swanson has wrote in. It was a comment about VAR more than anything else, but I've sort of just assumed he's referencing the penalty incident. For me, straight off the bat, I thought no penalty for the same reasons I thought no penalty for Aberdeen at Pittodrie. But what was your take on it?
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty at the time. And then I saw it, and I've watched it a few different times now, and I've got to be honest, I do think it is a penalty. I just think in the circumstances with that and Marshall, there are obviously some similarities in that the goalkeeper collides with the player. But I think if you look at the contact that Mitov makes, so yes, he contacts the ball, he then contacts the player, but his knees go right up into, I think, Marcondes' sort of hip, sort of abdomen area. For me, I think that combined with the fact that he's caught him with his sort of Superman fists out, I think that's enough to warrant a penalty. I think the Marshall one with Miovsky is
Mark
a
Lanson.
much cleaner contact with the ball, and it's a glancing blow on the player, whereas Mitov's is kind of full on. I haven't seen what others have got to say about it, but I do believe that McCannon, was it McCannon McFadden, were on Sports Scene on Saturday night. I think they both said it was a penalty.
Well, did they?
Yeah, and I don't know.
Michael Stewart certainly said so on Sports Sound when I was driving.
I mean, I think, to be honest, for me, it's just another one in a catalogue of marginal decisions that we've not got. And that's the thing, if some of those decisions were going in our favour, I'd maybe be a bit more compensating of the decision. But actually, having the run of decisions that we've had go against us, I just have no time for debating it anymore. It should have been a penalty.
Same for you, Dave, or? Well,
Yeah.
we'll say same mainly, much sort of disagree with that.
Yeah, I thought it was a pen at the ground, and then I think somebody showed me a highlight of it a bit later on, and then I wasn't sure, and then when I saw it again and they slowed it down, and then it's apparently, and but again, as you say, there's no point talking about it. VAR just doesn't work, as we saw in the Old Firm game on the following day as well. It's just VAR's are nonsense in Scotland. It just has to go.
Yeah. Interesting that I know it's not a Celtic and Rangers podcast or even a Scottish football podcast, but the general consensus seems to be that everyone's saying VAR slash the referee got every decision right in Old Firm yesterday, which I find interesting, I have to say. I think it was the Celtic ones that's a handball,
It's not
but aye. Anyway, right, we're going to move on now. Now we've sort of already touched on it. This next category, Monty Future, new manager, and also CEO. And Liam, I'm actually. No, we'll keep the CEO one to the end so we can discuss our feelings first, because otherwise it won't make sense if we've done the CEO one first. So we've had questions come in on this one. Greavesy, Andrew Brown, Mikey Lowe, Rebel Hybe, David Reynolds, Keith Robertson, Jamie McGovern, and Stephen Liddle. Now, Monty not good enough to progress even if we're in the top six. He's got a lower win percentage than Earl Johnson. Does he deserve the trust this summer with the sort of new investment that's going to be there? Is it on the players? It'll be the third manager now if he was to move on, obviously referencing Sean Maloney and Lee Johnson as well. Is there actually any other reason to keep him other than the fact that we can't just keep getting rid of managers? And then the one positive one that we've had come in, that was from Keith, believes in Monty and he thinks he needs at least another two windows. And then there was one shout to just throw the checkbook at Derek McInnes in the summer. So, do you know what? Do what you want with that, Dave. Tell me where you're at with Nick Montgomery and even just try and tie in a couple of things we've had sent in there.
Right. So I'm not as pro Monty as I used to be. I'll say that first of all. And I was pretty pro Monty. I like him, I like the cut of his jib. He's pretty straightforward, no bullshit. says it, and that's it, right? And I've liked a lot of his football when it comes together. He's not picking up enough points, and that's clear, right? And we've lost games we should have won, that's clear. And we can blame on VAR, we can blame on everything else, but the fact is there's plenty of games we should just have won quite convincingly. Saturday was a perfect example. You can't control a game like that and not win it. It's just not good enough. But I don't want to sack him. I don't want to start again because it just feels like Groundhog Day. We just do it time after time after time. And he's not had a run. And people say, well, he's got some players on in January. But it's just not enough time. You can't keep saying we're going to have a project and then not give the project any time. We've basically ran the pilot and said, oh, this is shite. Just cancel it all and just take away all that investment. Start again. Get someone else to design a completely new project and we'll do it again. It's just bollocks.
Dave, I know you're talking about investment that's come there. Does the new investment, is there anything in your mind that thinks, you know, there might be some influence there to suggest that they might want to go in a different approach from Nick Montgomery? Or, you know, do you think that makes his position more uncertain? Or
firstly, I think the investment's been overplayed a fair bit, right? There's some investment, right? There's about 6 million quid. We're going to spend 3 million or plus on infrastructure. Right, we'll have some money to spend on players. And then we're hoping they're going to come along and give us more money. That's still, 6 million behind Hearts every season. If we get 6 million a year, they get 10 million or something. You know what I mean? We're miles behind getting up to that level of investment. Right? Do I think that's going to mean that they're going to change the manager? Well, for me, the first thing they would be changing is the whole director of football and the whole setup there. Right? Because you've got a guy who's basically said, this is the guy I want, this is the guy I'm after, this is the guy that we need to get behind the door. And I've met Brian personally a couple of times now, and he said it, he's clear as day, this is the guy we wanted. It wasn't this guy just came out of nowhere. They were clear that they wanted him. You cannot be the director of football, and the CEO for that matter, I know you'll come on to that in a second, right? You cannot be in that position and say, this is the guy we want, and after 6 months you're saying, nah, he's had to go as well now, because we're not getting the results. You've got to try and see it out. And I mean see it out for like 2 years, not even just another window, right? Now, it's different if you're going to get relegated and all the rest of it, right? But in the grand scheme of things, the difference between 7th and 5th and getting papped out in the first round of Europe, isn't he the massive game changer that some of the fans will say it is, right? Sometimes you have to take a few steps back to get forward again. One of the best things that ever happened to us was getting relegated. Right, because it got the team back together again, it got the fans back together behind the team, got us forward, we won a Scottish Cup, and we had a bit of oomph behind the team for a while, right? And you can feel that kind of waning a little bit at the moment. But I'm just not a fan of starting the project again, right? Especially not with Derek McInnes. And I know he gets results and all the rest of it. I don't want him. I don't want him anywhere near Tibbs, to be honest. Yep. He's not my type of manager, my type of person.
Yeah, Liam, I don't need you to comment on them. I think we referenced that when the job was actually available. And quite frankly, I don't think Derek McInnes would be interested in the Hibs job at this current moment in time either. But where are you with the manager, Liam? We obviously had a discussion last week, and you weren't with us last week. So where are you? You've been quite pro Nick Montgomery, I would say, consistently since he came in, and with very valid reason. Is that waned at all?
I mean, it's definitely taken a bit of my faith in him. It's definitely taken a bit of a dunt over the last couple of games, particularly the game on Saturday. But I think I'm still championing him. I still think that he can turn this round. I'm not saying he will turn it around, but I think he can. I still think there are 6 games between now and the end of the season which to demonstrate some form of improvement and give us some faith going into the summer that. But actually, with a good window, with some really, really important signings in the summer, that we can come back and be a better side. But I think he needs to get some form of momentum behind him between now and the end of the season to give the rest of the doubters some hope. And a big way of doing that, to be honest, would be to manage to finish in the top 6 and then maybe picking up 1 or 2 results after the split. You know, if you could beat Hearts at home and maybe pick up a result against one of the Glasgow 2, or actually, you know, just a bit more of a statement victory against the Kilmarnock St Mirren, I think that would stand them in really good stead. But it felt to me like Saturday, much like the St Mirren game, and in January was kind of just one of those really pivotal games to sort of get the support behind you. It's another missed opportunity.
And it's like, how many times as a supporter even do you go back and you just think, we need to win the day, or we need to get a performance day, and you don't get it, you know, like, and then even your most optimistic or your most loyal supporter of Nick Montgomery, which, you know, you two guys probably would have been very sort of champion, not champion them as such, but with good reason, quite the thought of sacking them would never probably even entered your mind, I'd say, a month ago. But I reckon just from what you guys have said there, already you're looking at it and you're going, Jesus Christ, like, what, you know, maybe you listen to what the other people are saying a little bit more in terms of like the optics of it or that. But I wasn't, you said about the momentum there, Liam, like, is it, would it be more beneficial to him that if, you know, if you go and win this weekend, but you Dundee win, so, you know, we win and we finish bottom six, and then we go and have a fairly good run in the bottom six, and, you know, say you go unbeaten with three or four wins, but if, like, you go into the top six and the opposite happens, you know,
Nah,
what is it? Like, does he need these results to go for him this weekend?
I think the single biggest threat for a manager, being honest, is you finish outside the top five places, League Cup group stages in July roll round very fucking quickly, and we'll go in with a half-baked squad like we do when we go in it. We won't have got players in time, and we will be fucking up against it against teams in the Championship who are at the same stage, but it's a bit of a leveler for them. Teams in League One, same stage, but it's a bit of a leveler for them. And yes, we should probably blow those teams away, but you look at year on year, clubs in the Premiership struggle against teams in that at that stage of the competition. And I think it is a horrible scenario to be in for a manager who's been under pressure from the season previous, or a new manager coming in afresh. I think it's not a good place, because your back's against the wall right away. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to use it as a bit of pre-season, give guys minutes. But actually, you can't afford to. You need to play your best players against these teams. Like,
Yeah, because you've like you say, you've probably got 18 players to choose from, like, at that point, or supplemented by youth players
Where's the
as well.
youngsters? Ah, the youngsters.
Dave, you're a big Jack Ross fan. I know this is a bit of a detour, but I was just thinking there while we were talking about it. Jack Ross came in, obviously, in like the November, I think, and we had a pretty inconsistent run through to the sort of termination of that season, culminating in a seventh place finish. However, we had just been horsed in back-to-back games. We came back the following season and finished third. Would that example be enough for you, or as anyone, to, you know, could you present the argument of that shows when a manager comes in the middle of the season where there's been good and bad, that it can be done, that in one summer it can be transformed to where you are competing where you want to be in the league again?
I just don't think. I think there's very few managers that can change a team in a season, right? And change them into a level of consistency that's going to get you third, right? Or even fourth for that matter, right? There is, and that's why my head is always I don't want to start again. Jack Ross, how long was Jack Ross here for? 3 years and a bit.
No, not
Two
even
just
two.
over, just over two.
Just
Would it
over
be
two, God, in my
just
head.
shy, was it even just shy of two, maybe?
Nah,
Wait,
because it was the December we got rid of him. He
was
came
it
in
December?
October, I think. Yeah,
And
two years
the
too.
majority, looking back, would now suggest we should have kept them, right? I think that's clear. The majority
No,
would
the
suggest
owner said that it was a mistake sacking him, so.
it was a mistake, right? Because he was in a running form, so that was it, and we dropped him. I just don't think we gain anything by getting rid of Monty without having the chance to build something. Right? You've seen the type of player he's brought in January. And again, people will say that's somehow got nothing to do with him, and they'll say that the only ones he brought in are the ones from the A-League. I don't think that's the case. I think he's, you know, he's very clear on the type of player he wants and the type of football he's trying to play. I would be willing to bet, right, to anyone's favourite charity, that if we stick with him, we will be top four next season. There you go. That's me putting my neck on the
top four is a big shout. It's not an unrealistic one, though. You
Not
know,
big.
it's
It's not.
the it's
We
not.
should be top. We should be top four.
The way this league shakes up as well, like, to be honest, third place is up for grabs every year. I don't really care what anyone says. Like, the team, even the team that finishes third, yes, Hearts have put together quite a good run this season to get it ultimately, but the team that finishes third usually sort of limps to third
Hey.
place. And I do like I do think every summer it's if there's a bit of investment, a couple of right signings here and there, it's there for Reading. To be honest, the difference between finishing third and sixth or seventh in the league is a 25 goal a season striker.
Aye, I think that's fair. Or aye, yeah, I think that's fair. Hearts looked a dead
Then
set
they
for
grow on
that.
trees, though, as they say.
No, they do not. They do not. But Hibs have got a knack of finding them over the years. I think that's probably the one thing that maybe over our lifetimes we've done a no too bad job of finding. But so you two are still in the camp of Montgomery Inn now, let's be honest. There is a good old chance we'll be having the same conversation next week. Very much result dependent. It'll be an interesting one, you know, just if what is the feeling if Hibs win next weekend but results don't go our way. You know, how do you look at that? Just for my two pence on it, I said last week that it would be wrong to judge them sort of over the St Johnstone and Motherwell games, you know, just in that sort of two games in isolation. It's I certainly didn't envisage since Saturday going the way it did. I was telling anyone that would listen that we're going to take 6 points and going to the spot above St Mirren. So that was that out the window. But I still think I do lean towards he deserves the time. Absolutely. However, you know, if there is something to play for on Saturday and we don't get at least our job done to do that in consecutive weeks against fairly poor opposition, I think that would deserve to have serious question marks raised. But let's just quickly look ahead to the Motherwell game. Dave, they got an excellent win at Dens, obviously coming from 2-0 behind. Do you have the confidence in Hibs going there, regardless of what happens elsewhere, to win this weekend?
The big striker they've got, what's his
Yeah,
name?
Steel
Blair.
Gear.
He's a handful, right? But we've dealt with him in the past. I don't think we'll change our team much, I would imagine. We're also starting in front of Triantis. Front three, it might not, I don't think it'll be the same. I think Johan will come in. And Boyle will drop, or even Boyle might even play up top instead of Alf, and he'll just go for just pure pace and just try and get them up there and try and absorb them a bit and then get them the break. The positive thing is, I think somebody was saying Venti was training at the Easter Road tonight. He was in the full session, so he should be, you'd think, would be on the bench. They're a stuffy team, Motherwell. They score some good goals, but they're not. You didn't watch me go, well, that's nice football, all the rest of it. And I know they beat Dundee, but they're playing on a sandpit, so I don't think that really for much at all. I don't think there'll be much in the way of professional football getting played during that game. The pitch looked absolutely horrendous. You know what? It's impossible to say I'm going there confident because you've just seen what happened against St Johnstone, and that's been the problem. I mean, it's not even this season, last season as well, the season before. It's just. There's nobody's going into any of these games now saying we're confident, and that comes from somebody who said before the game on Saturday, "I'm confident," and that's it. Come Saturday, well, oh, I'm confident we're going to get a result here, but we've just got no idea. We've had so many individual mistakes in the last few months that have cost us so many points, and I wouldn't trust some of our critical players not to make those individual mistakes that could end up with us losing that game.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see in terms of the team selection. Liam, obviously, Dave mentioned a few things there, maybe more in the forward line. Defence, obviously, Fish was dropped. We have sort of written Paul Hanlon off, not as us as our opinions on football, but Dave as in just observing his usage. Do you think we'll see any changes in the back line on Saturday?
I don't think we will. I think we should. I think you'll go with the same team, but I think you should change it.
Yeah. What
I
would you like
got
to see?
I just bring Hanlon in for Fish. Just put
Yeah.
Rocket right centre half. Yeah. Well, Fish has been
Mariah Welsh
very,
right back.
very, very, very poor this season, low key. He's only really had a handful of decent games. He's been very poor this season. And I'd bring Mariah Welsh in. For Triantis, I'd drop Triantis. I don't think we need Triantis away at Motherwell in a game. We need to try and win, to be honest. I think you have to find a place for Elie Youan. I don't really mind who drops out of Lafondre or Boyle, but one of the two of them would need to drop out to necessitate that. And I'd maybe go Youan through the middle. I don't know. I just think we need to change it up. Unless, of course, Venti's available. I've made my thoughts clear. Dylan Venti's fit. Dylan Venti needs to play, but I don't. Yeah, I think Mariah Welsh is the one absolute stonewall change. That'll happen
Totally.
no matter what. Yeah, that'll
Right, well, and
definitely
then it
happen.
could be, as we've seen at the weekend, it could be Chanties into centre back. So we've had quite a few comments come in there in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes where we spoke about Nick Montgomery on YouTube. So you and Denham, constant defensive issues that have been a problem for years. Is it a collective or an individual problem? Does it even stem from Marshall's lack of presence? Brad Nesbitt has went in behind him and said the goalkeeper certainly doesn't inspire confidence in his box and needs replaced in the summer. Look, he's out of contract in the summer. There's no way he's getting a new deal. I would expect to see a number one in the.
Well,
Oh, really? He's getting his
there's
deal, eh?
chat that he is.
He's been offered a year's extension. Sorry.
Liam God, just take the rest of the podcast.
I just like I
Doesn't make
just
sense to me. Unless you're bringing, look, unless it's like, unless they're going, right, Murray Johnson's number one and we want an experienced backup or something, you know what I mean? But that's.
Murray Johnson's not going to be number one,
No,
having
I
not
know,
played any
but
first
like.
team football. I mean, this is the thing. That lad's development has been stalled a wee bit to essentially be third choice. He should have probably gone and played 25, 30 games in the Championship or League One this season. Ideally, the Championship. But he's not.
Got
So,
signed
but
for, was it
Airdrie?
Queens he got signed for and came back
Thought
at
it
the
was
start of
Airdrie,
the
no?
season. Now, any
Oh,
Queens at the
right,
start of
start
the
of the season.
season, then we called him back when after the European game. He went to Airdrie last season on like an emergency loan for like a game or something, I
And
think.
did well for them. I did well for him. He's earned rave reports, so he's been certainly a couple of times I saw him for the under-19s, so maybe more than a couple of times. He impressed me. I know he made a bit of a mistake in the Dortmund game, which I know folk kind of pinpointed, but I think generally he's been looked pretty, well, looked more than decent. I just seen a comment come in there for Cameron Fife. If he finished bottom six, he should play every game. Totally agree.
No, that is definitely valid. Some other comments that we've had in there, Liam. This I'm gonna just come to you because it was fair enough in reference to something you said. 20+ goal striker in Miosky never stopped Aberdeen finishing bottom six. Now I'm just gonna offset it before you get spicy. I know he's not scored 20 goals in the league, but he also says Kilmarnock have proved that having a better team, organisation, play and players that know their job. It'll take you a long way. Perhaps similar to what we had with Jack Ross, we had probably even just a little bit more quality in there in the season that we finished third.
I mean, I don't think Jack Ross's team had the quality this team has.
No.
Personnel wise, I don't think he has the same quality of player.
Just one more games.
Yeah, they just beat the bottom feed. But people didn't want us to just beat the bottom feed. They wanted to be more exciting. So, this is the thing that cunts want to have the cake and eat it. And I think ultimately we're in a position where you're gonna go out and attract these better players, maybe slightly more mercurial, stardusty type players. You're gonna have to live with, unfortunately, games where things just don't fucking click, and you have results like that. If you want a workmanlike team, full of guys like Paul McGinn, Darren McGregor, dare I say it, Hanlon Stevenson, Christian Doig.
Going to say, I think you might be doing that team a little bit of disservice. Christian Doig sort of at his best, Kevin Nisbet at his best, Martin
Doig
Coyle at his
would.
best.
Look, I love Christian Doig, but workmanlike is how I describe him as a centre forward. I wasn't exactly. I mean, you put
No, fair.
Christian Doig, if you send two scouts to watch Mizian Malida and Christian
No, of
Doig,
course, no, of course, of
then
course.
even Adam Lafondre and Christian Doig, you return sort of two very different profiles of player. I do think that was a. I don't want to harp back to it too much, but I think organisation. David makes a good point about Kilmarnock being organised, but Derek McInnes had 2.5 years to organise them.
Yeah, that's true. And again,
And
another example, they had a probably good season for what they expected last year by staying in the league, but nothing spectacular. And
he's had
then,
five transfer windows.
no. And I know, I think, I don't know about yourself, Dave, but I know me and Liam, we listened to the Terrace quite a lot, and there was a lot of chat last year that he was sort of hamstrung last year with players had signed on 2 year deals in the Championship, and then he got his own players in this summer, and they've obviously went on to do well. So, why should Hibs not afford our manager that exact same opportunity? God, you have convinced me. You have won me right round. Right, Liam, I just need your thoughts on the Motherwell game. And sorry, I know you've got some other thoughts potentially around maybe if Saturday didn't go the right way and a change was to be made.
Oh, the Motherwell game. Fuck. You want me to get a prediction?
Do what you want, buddy. Do what you want.
I think we'll go there and win 3-2 Fir Park. Well, Fir Park's a happy hunting ground for us. I think we'll do to Motherwell what they did to Dundee
Oh,
at the
fucking
weekend.
hell. In the exact same fashion.
Aye, but I don't, I'll be honest, I don't think Aberdeen are going to help us. I think Dundee will get a result against Aberdeen, will ultimately bottom six.
It's a difficult one because Aberdeen have obviously put a little bit of run together, but they've got nothing to play for. So that's the. I mean,
They're
hey,
just not
then
very
is
good either.
Dundee might beat Rangers on Wednesday night if the game even goes ahead. What actually that what will happen? Like I know this because it could have consequence for Hibs if that game gets called off. What happens?
Oh, that the if well, what will happen is Hibs will beat Motherwell and then Dundee and Aberdeen will basically pre-arrange it. Dundee will go through and then Hibs will start questioning the sporting integrity of the competition, and they'll have a long drawn out legal battle that will go on for months and months, and we'll have lots of people like Tom English and such like will be feeling really sorry for us, and we'll be getting all sorts of sympathy for the rest of Scottish football, and us and Partick Thistle will get a flag together to say that we've been wronged and take it to all our away games. That's what happened.
You know, it's funny. I was actually talking to Dave. You mentioned Matty earlier. I was talking to Matty just a couple of weeks ago about how class it was in lockdown listening to the Sports Sound podcast every day, and where they were all just greeting about how much an injustice it was and what was happening in the Hearts. And I know that's just it was a long time ago, but it was just a really, really enjoyable time to just laugh at them. Because do you know what? Do you know what I've had a lot this week about laughing at other teams' football, depending. You're not allowed an opinion on things if your team's not doing well, or you're not allowed to laugh at things because your team's not doing well. It's fucking irrelevant. It's the life of a football fan. You take the piss out of every other team, regardless of how well your team's doing, as long as you can take it back when it comes your way about your team when Hibs inevitably shoot themselves in the foot. I think that'll do us there, boys. Will it?
Oh, you
Any
would like
more
to talk
for
about
any more?
something else?
Like to talk about like talk about the CEO and the director of football and
Oh,
all.
Dave, if it's
Oh
burning,
well,
if it's burning.
the chat's McDermott's away. That's the chat.
So I'll take back what I said about Monty, if that's the case, right? I think if McDee goes, right, and that's at the behest of the BK investment, right, and they're saying we want to bring in a new director or whatever, or some trainee director of football that they've got that would come up here and learn some stuff. I think Monty will be on a sugarly peg in that instance. I think it's Brian that would keep Monty in his position. And I think if he goes, then he'd be in a. I think and I need to be careful if I say this. I don't think Ben Kensel would be as willing to stick up for Monty as Brian McDermott would. There you go. That's my point. And I think if he, I do think, I think if he goes, then you'll see a few more changes.
Liam, I know you it's something you've got strong thoughts on, and you know we've obviously spoke with Ben in the past on here and not on it, but he has now been involved in the hiring of three managers. Is that right? Managers in his time at the club, like whether Brian McDermott was, I just probably say this is just sort of online rumours, isn't it, that's spread tonight about Brian McDermott. Although I think there's maybe been some murmurs in the past since the investments come in, but would it be a surprise to you if anyone upstairs moved on? Should there be questions being raised?
Well, I think the first thing that Ben Kensel would say was he would say it was a collaborative approach because he likes to talk about committees making decisions and not being one individual who makes the decision. I think he, I'll be honest, I think he's shown himself certainly with the two of the sackings and Ross and Maloney to be quite trigger happy. I think they gave Johnson far too long in the job. I think generally what football clubs do is they flip flop. So you give someone too long, you maybe give the next guy too little, and you move forwards and backwards because you start to second guess yourself when you start continually make the wrong decisions about something, or you don't get the outcome from the decision that you took. So I think what we would probably see in that instance, I think if Montgomery was to go, I just don't, with the investment that he's brought into the club, I don't really see Ben Kensel going anywhere. So I don't really see there being an awful lot of value in speculating about his position. But I would like to think that the Black Knights would have some and a fairly significant involvement in the hiring of the next manager, given that we've got three consecutive appointments wrong, is what I would say. And to my sort of fairly long-held view, one sacking wrong as well. I think that's four decisions really ultimately around the head coach position that we've got wrong in the space of how long has he been at the club? Not even 3 years.
This will be
Yeah, less than 2 years.
this will be the end of his third full
In his
season.
2 year. I mean, yeah. I mean, and that, there's obviously a lot of mitigation involved there, and there's a lot of things that probably out with his control. But I do think ultimately you would have to question the decision making on head coaches. You'd have to question if they were to sack Montgomery, bringing a guy in from the A League in September with one short transfer window, and then sacking him before the season's out. I mean, you would just have to. Anyone doing a retrospective on that would have to question that as a decision making tool. And I think you'd have to look at the Johnstone one as well. I think, yeah, just everything. I mean, everything about all those decisions, to be
They
honest.
almost feel backwards, don't they? You bring in the inexperience in Maloney, and if you were to get you get rid of him quick without giving him any opportunity really to do his own thing, you bring in the more experienced one that should be able to make changes quickly, because they've got that well as like all that football IQ and 500 games managed and all that shite. He you would expect more instant results there, and if you don't see it. You move away from that one quicker, but they hung on to that one. Then you go down the route of a more inexperienced manager, and then again, it could be that you pull the trigger fairly early. Now, again, I'm on record as saying I think he's had more than enough time, and I think Nick Montgomery has failed this season if we don't finish top six, but failed within the season. I had a firm, truthfully. I thought when he was hired, we could still finish third. Hearts had started slowly. Aberdeen had started slowly. Obviously, Hearts put an incredible run together. But I do think we had more than enough time this season. He'll have had, by the end of the season, 34 league games. At this point, I don't know what it'll be, about high 20s. He should be able to get this team into the top six. For fuck's sake, Lee Johnson managed it last season. I know that's not the direct comparison, but. It will be a failure if we don't finish top six, but I don't necessarily know that that still means he loses his job, because you can look at something and say, yeah, that was a failure, but what's went on in between it? It'd be wrong to say we've not improved since January, at least in the style of football we're playing. We should have won more games, etc. But I think, sorry, I'm there's no point. I'm just gonna I'm gonna stop myself there because we're gonna have the same conversation next week and we're guessing at this point.
I do. I know you're coming for it. I do know you're coming for it. I think you need to look at the whole body of work by any manager when they come in, and I think it is about ultimately progressing from the point at which they took over. I'm not saying that finishing seventh will really show any signs of progression, because you could argue you finished fifth last season, but we were in a bit of a mess when he came in. We were in a bit of a mess. I know we'd obviously had those results in
I
Europe,
know
but
that's
we
the
were a
thing,
bit
eh?
of a mess. Like, we had lost three games to teams we should have beaten at the start of the season.
Totally.
Even if we'd picked up some points from one of those three games, we would be in a better position than we are now. Probably sitting top six, but we're not. So I just think that is the margins are so fine, and the decisions that have gone against us, certainly the latter part of the season, have been. I've never known a run like it, and I don't think managers can legislate for that.
Yeah, no, you're right, Liam. And at the time in the games, we would have said, oh, we would have beat Aberdeen if we got that penalty. Oh, we would have beat Hearts if they'd not got that penalty. Or if Mariah Welsh and Obita hadn't been sent off, we would have probably at least went to maybe we probably would have at least equalised in the cup game. And that's just that sprang to mind. And I think there's probably some way you could look at it to say. Had Monty got the St Mirren, Motherwell, and Livingston games at the start of the season, if you just look at what he averages points wise, maybe from the teams or something, that maybe you would have made it. But for me, if we don't finish top six, it lands at his door, and then there'll be a decision to be made, obviously whether he stays in the job role or not. Dave, do you have anything else to add before we wrap this up
Just
on?
one final thing. It's another reason to keep Nick Montgomery, right? If we get rid of Nick Montgomery, I think that means we're not going to sign Josh Nisbet, and that would really make me very unhappy. Because in Josh Nisbet, I feel I found my ideal replacement for Paul Hanlon, and I'm already getting portraits made of him for my dark shed, etc. So I think we have to keep Nick Montgomery. I honestly think Josh Nisbet would be absolutely brilliant in this league, and for Hibs.
He would be perfect for Hibs because he's got an eye for the fucking calamity, I know, after they never scored that open goal for when he was running in for the halfway line or whatever.
Again, you need to stop looking at the negatives. Look at all the positives as well. So yeah, that's just my. It'd just be a shame. I think he'd be a great B player, and I think if Nick Montgomery goes, you can forget all about the A League ideas. I think they all go out the window with him.
Perhaps that might not be the worst idea in the world. No, it's an in, it remains an interesting market. I think that obviously all Scottish football are looking at with some varying level of success. But I think that'll just about do us there. So Liam, you are going for a 3-2 win. Dave, can I get a scoreline for you for the Motherwell game? Oh, sorry, and whether we'll be top six or not. Liam, you've said 3-2 and not top six.
Not top six.
Right. 4-2 Hibs, top six, and we'll finish the season fourth.
Force well out of reach, man. Force well out of reach.
I am going to say 1-1 and top six. Because we would get
what is that one?
We would get in on goal difference.
If Dundee will lose both their games.
Well, they're going to lose, I think. I'm backing them to lose both games.
Can Motherwell not end up going above us then?
Well, no, if we drop them.
Would draw one, man.
That's the last game of the
side. Do you know what, though? The game, Titlef News kind of filters through that Dundee are maybe behind against Aberdeen. The game on Saturday has got the potential to be like balls to the wall. A draw is fucking no use to either team. Really.
Yep.
Well, Liam.
Apart from potentially us.
I'm on record as saying our manager likes to just keep things steady and takes what we've got sometimes. So if I think the best thing that could happen to Hibs is that news filters in that Dundee are ahead early. And we need to I think if Aberdeen go two goals up early, boy, you better get ready for Hibs to have eight players behind the ball at all times, if not more. Like, anyway, unfortunately, I won't be at Fir Park on Saturday. I am in Prague, but I'm sure you will both enjoy yourselves on your trip along to Fir Park. We will be back on Monday reviewing the game, whatever the outcome, and looking ahead to the final five games of the season, be them five big, in quotation marks, games against the Old Firm and Edinburgh Derbies, or five dead rubbers where we didn't even get the pleasure of trying to relegate Aberdeen. We will be back.
I'm buzzing for us to try and talk up five games in the bottom six next Monday. Can I just say that now?
Constant again.
We're like that. Oh, can't wait to go to the Tony Mac first game after the split.
Ooh, can't wait to get beat up at McDermott Park to make sure we have to go there again next season. Nah, look. All I'm going to say to our dear listeners is, if we are in the bottom six, we will come up with some better content than just talking about some dead rubber games where we didn't even get to laugh at the teams that are going down, because Livy are already down, and to be honest, Ross County or St Johnstone, I think, stay up in the playoffs either way. So, aye. Anyway, for the 700th time, we're done, and we will be back next week. Cheers!
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.